Well, let me just introduce the call. Thank you all for joining us today. I know it was short notice to put this call together and schedule it on Wednesday, but we were trying to be very responsive to your needs and desires through a recent discussion forum question where everybody was interested in about having an opportunity to discuss some of the changes around QIP and CCIP that were coming down the pike. So based on your needs and interests, I reached out to Jane Scott, who is a senior leader of professional services at Senseo Health and a longtime partner of the Health Plan Alliance, to see if she would assist me in helping to facilitate a call with you guys to, first of all, share an overview of what we know about the changes coming down the pike based on the training session that was held the other day, and then also just allow you guys an opportunity to ask questions of each other, have Jane serve as a resource to us, and also joining us will be Anita McCreary, and she's a senior clinical director at Gorman Health Group. So we've got two great subject matter experts on the line to help us sort of walk through and understand any questions, hopefully answer some of the questions you guys might have. So with that, that's sort of the overview of the call. It is not a WebEx. We don't have a presentation deck. All that you'll be seeing, all that you'll be hearing is just audio today. And we are recording this call. So in the event that you have folks in your plan that might not have an opportunity to join us, you'll still be able to listen to the conversation and hear the Q&A. So with that, I just want to just review a couple things with you guys. If you're in an office, just please put your phones on mute when you're not speaking. I'm going to leave the lines unmuted because we do want this to be an interactive discussion. But if you're in your office and you're not speaking, please just mute your line on your keypad by pressing *7, and then you can unmute it by pressing *6. And I'll sort of monitor any background noise we might hear, and I might have to mute lines as we go along. But just try to be cognizant of that. When you're not speaking, just put your phones on mute. And then when you want to talk, just remember to unmute them. So those are the only, sort of instructions I have for you at this point. And what I'll do now is just ask Jane to maybe share an overview, high-level overview of the learnings that came out of the training session the other day around QIP and CCIP that CMS put on. And then we'll open it up for your questions.
Sure.
That sound like a good approach, Jane?
It sounds excellent. And let's just check once more. Anita, are you on? Did you get to join us? Okay. Hopefully she'll be able to dial in. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. For some of you on the line, I've met or worked with you in the past. It's very nice to reconnect just a little bit. As you know, I've been in the industry a long time. I worked well over a decade for Gorman Health Group, and I've since moved to Senseo Health. I'm their Senior VP of Professional Services. So what that is I'm basically doing consulting for our clients and internally and externally. So I'm still doing the same thing, just in a little bit of a different capacity. So let's just jump right in. I know several of you, if not all of you, were on the call yesterday for CMS. I think it was a little interesting. It wasn't as well orchestrated as I had hoped. I thought that they would do a little more of a Q&A and not so much of reading the slides. But nonetheless, that's why we have each other, and that's why we have the call, so we can help each other. Just wanted to do some highlights and make sure everybody's clear that put my cell phone on vibrate. There we go. CMS is redesigning the QIP that you currently have, and it's now going to become your CCIP. And I think there was a lot of confusion for new health plans that are coming into the marketplace, and there was a lot of confusion for health plans of, okay, well, we already have this. It started. What do we do? So let's just start off with those two things right at the top. And so if you remember, the CCIP is now to promote effective management of chronic disease. And that can mean a lot of different things. So we can talk about that in just a moment. But the CCIP is all basically going to be a different design. They have the list of the disease states, and we can talk about potential interventions if you all have any questions. But the QIP is probably the most confusing. So if you have a current QIP in process, remember that the QIP has to be focused on promoting effective management of chronic disease. And so it's now redesigned, and it's now becoming your CCIP. So I know that's confusing, so I'll say it again. If you have a current QIP, and it's about promoting effective management of chronic disease, that now changes to become your CCIP. So I'm going to stop there and see if we have any questions about that, because it was confusing yesterday.
I have one question.
Hi, this is Anna with Asthma Health Plans. I do have a question, because that's not how what I thought that they had said. So we currently have a CCIP. Forgive me. We currently have a QIP.
Uh-huh.
Where we are doing I believe it's end-stage renal disease or anemia. I forget.
Okay.
And the cycle started, I believe, last year, the three-year
mm-hmm.
cycle. So
mm-hmm.
is that to be continued and just renamed CCIP?
Correct. So if you look
okay.
at the Q&As, let me see what I read that on the – hold on. So go to the FAQs. Do you all have the website that CMS has on their web page? If you don't, I'll send it to you. Mark it as a favorite. That's where all these documents are. Everything is there, including the strategy, the goals, and even separate options for the QIP and the CCIP. But go to the Q&As that they issued. It's on page one, and it's the second question, and it says, if an MAO currently has a QIP in process, what do they need to do? And the answer is that you continue your current QIP, promote effective management of chronic diseases, but it will be redesigned as the CCIP. Okay?
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And there was someone else, I think, that had a question. Two. No?
Anybody else have a question real quick? I think I heard somebody also try to jump in there, so I just want to make sure we've got everybody. If somebody had a question,
Hi.
Go ahead and unmute your line. Go ahead.
I have a question. This is Ruth from Health First Health Plan. I'm the one on the call yesterday that asked about something about the combined project, because on one of the Q&As when they talked about the changes, it almost seemed like they were saying they were making the change from the QIP to the CCIP to allow for one succinct project. And so we were kind of confused with that language, thinking it was going to be a combined project. But I guess from the call yesterday, it is not. They will still be two separate ones. So my question is kind of along the lines of the last person's call, that if our QIP becomes our CCIP,
mm-hmm.
do we start over for another 3 years, or do we finish out an original 3 years?
You can finish out your, so you're making it, your QIP has become your CCIP, go the normal cycle, because it's current, it's not brand new, right? If it was,
okay.
Yep, so go through the normal cycle. What they tried to address was that if you had a CCIP in progress, which was the Million Hearts campaign, you have to close that this year at the end of 2017. But because
okay.
your QIP is now becoming your CCIP, I would go the length of it. You know, that's
the original
actually,
QIP length.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
then,
Anita,
and then,
I heard the same.
Oh,
yeah.
You did get in. Hi, Anita.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard the same thing, that basically what they're saying is projects end, obviously, and then
right.
what they want you to do is look at your project to see if it's successful to turn it into CCIP. Because, you know, some people might have gone through this, especially the newbies. You might have started a new project thinking it's going to go great, and then you find out maybe not. So it might not be worth a program, you know. So I think
right.
there was a lot of confusion.
Yep. You know, one of the key things I think to do as you folks all run through, but it's really difficult now because you have 6 weeks. You have 6 weeks to really come to the conclusion, do we want to continue it or do we begin new? Begin new because of we're finding through our annual evaluation our old CCIP, which could become our new QIP, right? Would that really be something we wanted to continue? And that's part of that annual evaluation of looking at, are your interventions effective? Are you reaching your goals? Are you running into too many barriers? You know, and for the question that was just asked, I know CMS, when they answered your question, actually Anita and I were texting each other, we're like, that's not right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So then could you start a brand new one if that's not working, like your QIP isn't working, or do you have to go ahead and continue, like let's say you have 1 year left on your three-year QIP project. So could you instead choose to start a brand new CCIP and not continue that one?
You know, I guess it would come down to what other interventions could you do or what your barriers are. And since we don't know that, and maybe Anita and I, or we could talk to you offline and do a little bit of a deeper dive. I don't know if it's really, I mean, ideally they're supposed to be 3 years. So mm-hmm. I don't know if you have other opportunities for different interventions that could change some of the outcomes. If, you know, you're not truly seeing outcomes, I would recommend to go the 3 years. To do,
okay.
Because remember, CMS has a template. They want the implementation of it according to the annual report and the review. And then, you know, because ideally, if that were the case, everybody would quit after the first year sometimes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about barriers a little bit because I was at the AHIP meeting here, and that's just an organization that does a lot of you know, discussions about all these Medicaid and Medicare plans and the duals. And there's a great deal of energy around the social determinants of health. And I think what's happening now is becoming an expectation where it wasn't before for organizations to really address that. I mean, I've been doing this a long time, and we'd always like, yeah, it's a barrier. They couldn't get their transportation. Yeah, yeah. But now I think what they're expecting us to do is to consider in these QIP some of these social determinants of health. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
This is Anna again. I do have another question.
Sure.
I understand the QIP now becoming the new CCIP, but we are also required to start a new QIP.
Correct.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. We are looking at the quality strategy goals and choosing one of those. We're going to do something along the lines of HEDIS. So, and I believe that was a question that was asked during the training, mm-hmm. and it was explained that, yes, we could do that.
You are correct.
So,
and
is
yeah,
there
make
any...
it easy on yourselves, for sure. You know what? It's go ahead and look at what you're already doing in your quality work plan.
Right.
And even in your STAR ratings management work plan, and you know, really think about what would fit, what do we just have to tweak that would mm-hmm. fit the criteria, and I think definitely make it easier on yourself. You know, I loved the person that was on the phone who called CMS out and said, hey, we have spent money doing this, we've started, and now you're stopping us. You know, sometimes I'm not so sure CMS realizes the administrative burden that they cause plans with some of their changes, especially when it's, you know, in the middle of something. And we as an industry, I think we need to really help verbalize when that happens. So I was glad that person did that.
Agreed.
I think we all agreed on that, because I think we've all been in that position eventually. You know, that's the hard part about it all.
So what other questions do you... Oh, go ahead.
Thank you. This is Elizabeth at Community Care in Tulsa. And just to go back to the earlier discussion, we interpret some things that you've just talked about differently. there is a CMS memo on August 18th that announced the change to the QIP and CCIP requirements. In the middle of the page are two called out items, one and two. Item one says that the current QIP will become the newly designated CCIP.
Mm-hmm.
And the last sentence of that paragraph says, MAOs that have a QIP in progress, now the newly designated CCIP, must continue with their current project, and that the current project, the new CCIP, becomes 3 years long.
Right. Okay, so I guess I'm a little confused. I thought that's what
Well, I heard you say to one of the other callers it was okay for them to stop or to only do one more year, and that's not the way we understand from this memo and yesterday's call.
So they are already in the process.
Yes, we are as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we have less than 3 years to do, but as we understand, we are now mandated, once it becomes the CCIP, it now has to be a three-year project, and we will start another QIP that will also be a three-year project.
Three-year project. You're right. No, you're right.
Okay, thank you. I guess I just misheard you earlier, so thank you for letting me clarify.
No, you're sure. And it is really confusing, and I think, you know, one of the things that made it really confusing is when they answered their FAQs, they put it out there for new MAOs. In fact, I had my hand raised during the call yesterday, and I was a little disappointed they didn't call on me, because I wanted to ask them too, and I will still write to their email box, put out a grid of current plans, what has to be the transition, and what the time frames are, citing those that are in the middle, those that are only a year old, because I think that they did a lot of speaking and answering the questions for new plans, which I think made it even more confusing for some, because there were folks, you know, there was a memo that they put out in 15 for 16, and I think that confused people even more. So, Anita, what do you have anything to add to that?
I agree with that, because I don't know if anybody's on the call that used to do the structure process measures or when we went mm-hmm. from Mach 11 to Mach 4, but having that crosswalk and the matrix type of structure, I think, really would help everybody.
So I just want to make sure everybody's clear that if you have a current CCIP in progress, CMS is asking, especially, you know, the one that's 4 million hearts, to bring it to a close in 2017. And then taking your QIP, which is now becoming your CCIP, and it's to promote effective management of chronic diseases. For those of you that are special needs plans out there, and I know there's quite a few of you, one thing that I thought about as I was listening yesterday, too, you know, we, in our models of care, define target populations, and you've already done that work. So utilize your model of care, especially for your SNP plans, for that target population, because you all have already done that. You have your annual evaluation. So use that to your advantage, too, as you're designing these programs, so that you don't redo something that you may not necessarily have to do. Like I said, make it easy on yourself. Look at where you've already done this work, because I know in your models of care you have. And in fact, in your model of care, in your care coordination, and in your quality improvement and performance piece, which is MOC 4, a lot of this fits that. If you guys really look at it and look at the quality goals and the interventions, I mean, because your MOC, of course, is really designed to improve outcomes, and you have disease management, you have case management, you have a target population, you have specific interventions in your care management, so a lot of that fits. So that hopefully will help.
So I have a question. This is from Fidelis Care. Just want to confirm. So all current CCIPs are closing out in 2017, all of our current CCIPs?
So the way CMS answered that is that if you have a current CCIP that is focused on million hearts, that has to be brought to a close in 2017. Is
right.
that what your CCIP is focused on?
No.
Okay. So your what's your current CCIP?
I have one was heart failure readmissions, but the others are diabetes related. And we're in all different types, parts of the, you know, process. We're in, you know, annual update 4, update 5. So we're all over the place in regards to where we are within the project.
So, you know, for that CCIP, because you are promoting effective management of chronic disease, I would say, Anita, if you're in agreement, I mean, they can continue that CCIP.
Right, but what I think they were trying to say yesterday is you're going to have to recast it into their framework because they might be look like they were adjusting a few things, and just obviously they're getting a new name.
So, I'm sorry, what was the name of the person that answered? Was it Donna?
Hi, this is Sally Hinkle.
Oh, Sally. Okay, sorry, Sally, I got your name wrong.
No problem.
So just make sure when you look at what your current CCIP is, and you know they put out the 2017-2018 requirements,
mm-hmm.
that document, just
yes.
run through and make sure that it meets what that structure is.
Okay.
Yeah, and then they also put out on their website, of course, the template for annual evaluation. And one of the other things I think plans are accustomed to for those of us that are a little older in this industry is looking at how it was uploaded and what we used to have to report and not doing that, but just attesting to it. But you still have to make sure everything's in line, because if CMS wants to see it, they can ask for it, and it has to be done in the format that they want it to be done.
I have a question on the attestation. I understand that they will be open for the now new CCIP, but do we have to attest if this would be our baseline year for a QIP, for a new QIP?
You know what, that's a good question, and I don't know if I have an answer to that one. I didn't hear any answer to that, and you may have to go directly to CMS.
I didn't either. This is Anita. That's a good question.
Because the attestations are annual, that you're conducting them, I would say yes, but you probably want to validate that.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. In fact, let me make sure. So, yeah, see, all it says in CMS's very clear guidance that you attest annually that you have an ongoing CCIP and QIP project. That's all it really says. And that's all they really said yesterday. And unfortunately, I cannot get into HPMS to look at what they have for you as guidance. So that may be another opportunity, because I know there is a guide within HPMS for you. Any other questions? Does anybody have any questions about the topics, about interventions, about CMS's goals? As you know, they're pretty broad. A lot of your quality improvement programs are designed this way anyway, as well as your work plans. You know, one of the things that I do want to point out to all of you, I was reviewing these documents before the call yesterday, CMS talks about in their CCIP goals and in their instructions to make sure that in your target analysis of your population for your CCIP, that you look at the acceptable standards of practice or your clinical guidelines. You know, when Anita and I were consulting and the CCIP structure was just a little bit different, CMS has really made a focus upon those clinical practice guidelines. So make sure as you engage your providers, as you write your CCIP, you have right next to you what your plans approved and accepted clinical practice guidelines are, so that you weave that through in and throughout, because that'll be the source for some of your baseline. You could actually use that for baseline measurements if you needed to, if you don't have any baseline measurements for your own population, for industry standards. So I just wanted to call that out too, because it talks about care coordination that your members receive, and it has to be to acceptable standards of practice. So whatever your organization has adopted and disseminated, and it guides your population, especially that target population. So make sure that that's something that you keep in mind. And one of the other things I wanted to see if anyone wanted to just quickly talk about, the promotion of lifestyle change and the use of preventive services to slow the progression of disease. I thought that was really interesting, because depending upon the disease state you pick, some of them have no associated preventive services that would slow a disease progression. So don't get caught up in that. I thought that was an interesting comment.
So that's an interesting topic that you bring up. So we were thinking of using diabetes and, you know, monitoring one of the HEDIS measures, because we do those initiatives already. Mm-hmm. So is that something that you would find is acceptable to CMS?
I definitely would find it acceptable. You know, one thing I want you to do some research on, I don't know if you're aware, as you design that or you continue to do your studying, or you're in the ACT phase, you know, CMS released an HPMS memo about their Medicare Diabetes Prevention Program just a few days ago. And if you need the website, they have a whole web page on their Medicare Diabetes Prevention Program. They have an expanded model. Go ahead and look at that model, because they do have a pretty cool design. It's specifically for reduction of the development of type 2, and if that's included in your program or your project, that might be very helpful. Sarah, remind me that I'll send to you that web page, so that might help you, give you some ideas.
That'd be great, okay, Jane, if you want to provide that resource to us. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Okay.
Jane, I'm checking on NCQA, too, because I thought they had the whole program vetted there too, so I'll let you know in a minute.
You know, now that you spoke of NCQA, Anita, one of the things that you can see both organizations driving to is population health management and that quote-unquote target population. They both basically support each other's design, as well as it supports the model of care design. And if any of you have a chronic SNP that is for diabetics, you know, you guys are sitting pretty golden, because there you go, there's your program design. I think that's pretty cool. Any other questions?
Yeah, let's just open it up. We've got, you know, a half hour left on our allocated time, but, you know, want to make sure that you all have an opportunity to ask the questions that are burning in your minds and try to reach some clarity around some of this stuff. And also, if there's other things that you'd like to talk about with Anita and Jane on the line, feel free to pose, you know, an alternative question.
This is Anita, just to jump on the diabetic bandwagon. There is that, on NCQA, I was correct, a diabetic recognition program. I remember that was out about a month ago. They were calling for information on that. So it's well vetted. I'll send the link to Jane and everybody so you have it.
Yeah, you know, and I guess the point Anita and I are trying to make is use what's out there. Don't make it so hard on yourselves. so that you can look at other program designs, other models, and get some tips and hints, and or you know, if they've already set out data criteria, that could be done for you. Really engage your PBMs here too. They have data, they have their MTM program. See if you can weave that in as part of your interventions. That certainly would work. A couple of things I wanted to talk about, Sarah, if I could, is the barriers.
Sure.
I don't know
yeah,
if you have all looked at the document that CMS sent out, but it talks about that plans should discuss any barriers, right? And some of the barriers that they have listed are decline in condition. When you address that as a barrier, make sure, yeah, that if you have a decline in condition and that is a measure and that's something that's creating, some, you know, it's stopping you from reaching your goal, the reason you would want to talk about decline in condition is member non-adherence, is lack of participation, or those social determinants that are actually the members' barriers themselves for contributing to their own decline in their condition. So let's say access to care is an issue. That can contribute to decline in condition because a member may not be able to adhere to treatment because of social determinants, thus their condition declines. So make sure you wrap it around that way. The non-compliance, the communication, health literacy, those would be barriers that contribute to decline in condition. As I was looking through those barriers, I was thinking to myself, if I had to write this, what would it be? You know, healthcare team issues. It could be the structure of your team. It could be the volume of staff and ratio of case manager to case load. It could be the lack of community services, especially if you face a high rural area or disparate non-urban areas. Make sure you include health literacy. Make sure you include those support systems because that contributes to barriers to declines in conditions. Those are all external factors. So you could weave your barriers together. I think that would really help. Of course, knowledge deficit is health literacy, and that's, again, a social determinant. I don't know if you folks are all using the social determinants or really slicing and dicing your population, understand their demographics, their education, and even bucketing them to their, then overlaying their language, their primary language and their cultural beliefs. That's a really good way to start to say, okay, here's clumps of people in our target population that we may have barriers with. Let's watch this, and then if we evaluate it, create interventions for that down the line.
Thanks a lot, Jane. That's great information, great, you know, guidance and suggestions for our group. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Jane, for the social determinants of health, too, I think I might have resources there, too. I'll from the AHIP conference I went to, so I'll make sure I pass them forward.
Sure, yeah, of course. You know, I have, Sarah, a paper that I downloaded from the International Health and Healthcare Intelligence. I can share that with you all. It's all about social determinants. You know, it's social determinants is specific to your target population, too. You know, if you have, if you live in a high-income, predominantly non-Hispanic, non-Asian, non-Black neighborhood, and they're affluent, you know, those social determinants are going to be minimal compared to inner city of Chicago. So,
yeah,
but yeah, I'll share
that.
So help me remember, I have to share the diabetic website. I have to share the CMS page in my paper.
Yeah, and I just, you know, Anita and or Jane, both of you, if you have resources that would be helpful to our group, you know, feel just forward them on to me. And then what I can do, guys, is I'll post them to our website. I'll put them, I'll put those resources on the event page for this call so you guys can easily find them. But then I just wanted to let you guys know too. Next year we're going to be creating a spot on our website that we can really curate some of these resources related to quality management for you, so it will be easier for you to find. So we'll make sure that you have access to them and communicate how to get that information.
Okay. So. And just one other thing I wanted to point out during as you do your CCIP, remember one of the requirements that CMS has is that you identify your target population. You know, if you are a SNP plan and your members move or your enrollment volume fluctuates, make sure for any of us, because the members can disenroll, expire, or whatever the case is, you do a monthly enrollment table to watch that movement, because part of if CMS should ask for you and your program design to submit it, you have to document the total number of enrollees that are involved. And we all know that that fluctuates and enrollees move. So make sure you include a monthly enrollment feed as part of your data sources that supplies your target population. And if you have a huge variance, especially, you know, during the fall of the year when members can, through open enrollment, make other choices, you adjust your population accordingly to that, and you reassess that target population, because we're in that time of year now, and especially for you folks who have gone and are in the middle of your process.
Great. Other questions from the group or comments, things that you'd like to discuss with one another while we've got each other on the line? Nope. All your QIP, CCIP questions have been answered, right?
Not yet, but coming to a close.
You have better clarity around some of the issues, I hope.
Sarah, I also cut and pasted the questions that were in the question box yesterday, because I know CMS is really slow. So I'll send those to you, too. They are supposed to have collected everybody's questions. We'll see if mine gets in there.
Okay, great. Yeah, that'll be great. And I'll send that out. I'll send all that out in a follow-up to everybody who registered for this call today, and make sure they have access to that also. That'd be great. While I've got you guys, if you're thinking about other questions or comments you might want to raise with one another or with Jane and Anita, just wanted to give you a preview. For 2018, we are formulating a pretty comprehensive programming plan for the quality management professionals within our member plan. So we're going to be structuring monthly calls around a variety of different topics that I've worked with an advisory group, some of you might be on the line, to help sort of orchestrate and frame out, you know, topics that we might want to cover throughout the course of the year with host plans or folks that have agreed to help facilitate those conversations and information sharing. So be looking for that information to come out, and we'll be making that public and getting those dates on your calendar so that you guys are aware of some of the things we're going to be talking about. But a lot of the things we've talked about today, so the NCQA pop health standards are an area that folks want to focus in on. Obviously STARS and our continued emphasis on strategies and initiatives to continue to drive success in those areas. A deep dive really into the HAAS measures and how we can really drive improvement there. So those are just some of the examples of topics that we've come up with. So be on the lookout for those call notices and that calendar to be able to place on your own personal calendars. And then we're also scheduling in June, June 6th through 8th, I believe are the dates, and we're finishing the finalization of that up. But we're going to be hosting a value visit, a 2.5-day session, designed for both the quality professionals and our risk adjustment professionals within our plans. As you guys know, that intersection of both of those functions is becoming very, very critical. And, you know, our goal here is to bring those groups together to share and learn from one another, hopefully, you know, develop initiatives and strategies to reduce the effort involved with a lot of this work, and really improve our performance in both those areas. So be looking out for that, and we welcome your involvement in that meeting. And Jane and Anita, I'm sure, will be calling upon you guys also to participate in that session as subject matter experts in ways that would be helpful. So just those little plugs about programming coming up for 2018. We've been busy trying to plan some of this stuff out for you.
Sounds like it sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Other questions or comments from the group? Or suggestions for us at the Alliance in terms of ways we can continue to support you?
It's Friday. I think everybody's sleepy.
I think everybody's tired. Yes, definitely. So, well, if not, I will, I put in the chat function. I don't know if anybody can see it because there wasn't a webinar, but contact information for both Anita and Jane. But I will certainly send that information out to you guys also in the follow-up to this call so that you have their contact information in the event you need some additional support and would like to visit with them more about some of the work that you're doing. They're both great, great resources for you in terms of outside expertise. So I encourage you to reach out to them if you feel the need. So, and I know that they would welcome that. So appreciate you guys taking the time today to really help us with this topic and especially on such short notice. So really do appreciate that.
Of course, anytime.
Yep. Okay, guys. Go ahead.
Well, everybody have a fabulous weekend.
Thank you so much.
You guys too. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.